ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय आतेन्द्रिया रमा सागोष्ठी अकृष्णया तत् सम्मतनम् अपरिग्रहेण च विविक्त रुच्य हरितोष आत्मनि दीना हरेर् गुण आयुष हनात् अतेन्द्रिया राम सगोसि अतृष्णया तत्सम्मतनम् अपि ग्रहेण च विविक्तरुचा परितोषात्मनि दीना हरेर्गुणा पायुषपानान् अतेन्द्रिया राम सगोषिया तृष्णया तत्सम्मतनमपि ग्राहिण च विविक्तरुचा परितोषात्मनि दीना हेरगुणा पीयूषपानान् अतेन्द्रिया राम सगोषिया कृष्णया तत्सम्मतनमपि ग्राहिण च विविक्तरुचा परितोषात्मनि दीना हरिर्गुणा पीयूषपान
परितोषात्मनि दीना हरिर्गुणा पीयूष
Artha, riches, Indriya, senses, Arama, gratification, Sagoshti, with their companion, Atrishna, by reluctance, Tat, that, Sammatanam, since approved by them, Aparigrahina, by non-acceptance, Cha, also, Vivikta Rucha, disgusted taste, Paritoshi, happiness, Atmani, self, Vina, without, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Guna, qualities, Piyush, nectar, in Bengali, sweet rice is called Piyush, Piyush and nectar, Panat, drinking. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace of Vaisharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. One has to make progress in spiritual life not by associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can thus be elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can thus be elevated by being disgusted with a taste for sense enjoyment. Purple. In the material world, everyone is interested in money and sense gratification. The only objective is to earn as much money as possible and utilize it for satisfaction of the senses. Srila Shukadeva Goswami thus described the activities of materialistic persons. Nidraya hiryate nakat naktam vya vayena chava ibaya dvi chatihaya rajan kutumba varat Mbharani Naba, Srimad Bhagavatam 213. This is a typical example of materialistic persons. At night, they waste their time by sleeping more than 6 hours or by wasting time in sex indulgence. This is their occupation at night, and in the morning, they go to their office or business place just to earn money. And as soon as there is some money, they become busy in purchasing things for their children and others. Such persons are never interested in understanding the values of life. So, money and sense gratification. So we should give up the association. Three things we are being told here. Give up the association of persons who are attracted to sense gratification. And give up people who also associate with people who are attracted to sense gratification. And also give up their objectives. Their objective is sense gratification. So we should also give up that objective. So association with people who are interested in sense gratification, with people who associate with those people who are interested in sense gratification, and also we give up the motivation that they have, which is sense gratification. So the underlying motivation behind this money and sense gratification is control and enjoying. Sense gratification is enjoyment. Money means control. When you get your money, then you can control the situation. So everyone's working hard to control a little situation. Why? So they can get sense gratification. So this is the age-old disease since time immemorial. Why? Because this is Krishna's position. He's the controller and he's the enjoyer. That's his position. And that's what he does. We're him trying to imitate Krishna. This is our misfortune. But this is the nature of this material world. Krishna's designed it so we can fulfill this desire that we have to control and enjoy. And ultimately, as it says here, become disgusted with the taste for sense gratification. Later on in the Bhagavatam, the Narad Muni encourages it. Sense gratification. You have as much as you can, and then you get tired of it. Of course, there is a philosophy like that. There was some person preaching his philosophy. But Narad Muni does say it. But Prabhupada said, yeah, that's for animal-like people. If you are really animalistic, and then you just engage all your senses, indulge all your senses as much as possible, and then you're going to come for fatigue. But it's not for civilized human persons. Who have little more understanding of life. So it's just a habit, a very bad habit everybody has, to control and enjoy. But it's habit since time immemorial. Habit is second nature. We control our nature to become devotees. Sometimes we bring the old habit back. We change our nature. We can change our nature. We change the nature by practicing Krishna consciousness. But sometimes we still bring the old habit back. Our second nature comes back. That I want to enjoy and control. Even as a devotee, now I'm a devotee, but now I'll control how I will approach Krishna. I will control that situation. How I will approach this. So therefore you get so many different types of processes. Krishna is given in Bhagavad Gita so many different processes of knowledge. How to approach Krishna. Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Yoga, knowledge of Paramatma, renunciation, sannyas, anashram, so many things. Krishna has spoken all these different ways to simply to engage the different controlling and enjoying tendencies of the living entity. So you want to control in a certain way, that is my nature, that is my habit. So there is a system Krishna has given you, you can actually engage that controlling and slowly come to Krishna by practicing one of these systems that Krishna has given, and you'll actually slowly become purified. But although these systems are given by Krishna to engage our controlling and enjoying tendency, this is not Krishna's conclusion. This is not what Krishna wants us to do. Now, Krishna's conclusion is that you should give up with You should give up this tendency. Krishna saying, who cares for your controlling and enjoying nature? It's done nothing but get you into trouble. That's all it's been achieved so far. We've got nothing but trouble for trying to control and enjoy. So Krishna's saying, give up that your damned nonsense philosophy of controlling and enjoying, and just surrender to me. So that's what Krishna wants, but speaking so many other different types of philosophy, but Krishna's saying, no, you should give up all this sinful dharma. This dharma of control, it's actually a sinful dharma. So therefore, Krishna said, this is for sinful people. I've spoken all these philosophies in Bhagavad Gita, they're for sinful people. People who still want to control, they don't want to come to me. So they're all sinful persons. So all these different processes that Krishna speaks, actually for sinful people who cannot surrender to Krishna. Well, they come into Krishna, but still they're holding on to their enjoying and controlling habit. But Prabhupada gives this, when Krishna says, sarvadhanam parityaja, you give up all of your dharmas, your dharma of control and enjoying. Give it up, Krishna says, give it up. Give up all of these dharmas and you just surrender to me. Mamikam saranam. Hamtam sarva papibhyo. And I will protect you, I will save you from all of your sinful activity. So Prabhupada said this here, Krishna has given a definition of sin. What is sin? If you give up all of your dharmas and surrender to Krishna, Krishna says, I will relieve you from all of your sin. So Prabhupada said, this is the definition of sin. Anything you do that is not in the mood of surrendering to Krishna is a sin. Definition of sin. Now we can see, according to this definition Prabhupada has given, the condition of the whole world. Any activity, anything you do that's not in the mood of surrendering to Krishna is sinful. So we can see how sinful the whole world is, because who is performing activities to surrender to Krishna? So that's the situation. So what is the solution that's given here? So you give up that association of the materialistic persons. Not only give up, that's negative, but it's positive. Accept the association of saintly persons. So that is the remedy for this disease. We have to accept the association of devotees, of saintly persons, who are not interested in sense gratification, not interested in controlling, but interested in surrendering to the will of Krishna. So if we associate with those kinds of people, then we can overcome this controlling and enjoying tendency that so deeply rooted. Long purport, so I'm reading a little bit with more purport. Such persons are never interested in understanding the values of life. What is God? What is the individual soul? What is the relationship with God, etc.? Things are degraded to such an extent that those who are supposed to be religious are also, at the present moment, interested only in sense gratification. The number of materialistic persons in this age of Kali has increased more than in any other age. Therefore, persons who are interested in going back home, back to Godhead, should not only engage in the service of realized souls, but should give up the company of materialistic persons whose only aim is to earn money and employ it in sense gratification. They should also not accept the objectives of materialistic persons, namely money and sense gratification. And therefore it is stated, bhaktihi pareshano bhavo virakye anyatracha. This is from Bhagavatam 11.2.42. To advance in devotional service, one should be uninterested in materialistic way of life. That which is the subject matter of satisfaction for the devotees is of no interest to the non-devotees. So, Prabhupada is quoting here 11.2.42. I read this nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti parishano bhava vratiye anyatra chay shatrika eka kalaha prapadyamannasya chitan snata shush tushti pushti shut apayo novasham tushti pushti. The translation, devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord and detachment from other things. The devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. So, nice example. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things are like when you're eating, you get pleasure, nourishment, and you're relieved from your hunger simultaneously. Prabhupada, it's not Prabhupada's purport. This is the 11th canto. Anyway, purport. By Kopipana and others. A person who is eating not only becomes uninterested in other activities, but increasingly becomes uninterested in the food itself according to his satisfaction. When you're eating, you're not interested in anything. When you first sit down, that's all you see, right? You're very hungry, that's all you see. You don't see anything else, right? Put blinkers on. But the more you eat, then the more uninterested you become in the food also. At first you're fully interested, but after you start eating and that hunger goes, then you get less interested. So you get less interested in the food itself according to your satisfaction. On the other hand, according to Sri Jiva Goswami, although one is experiencing the blissful personality of Godhead Krishna, he becomes uninterested in anything other than Krishna. And his attachment to Krishna increases at every moment, the opposite. Therefore, it is to be understood that the transcendental beauty and qualities of the Supreme Lord are not material, since one never becomes satiated by relishing the bliss of the Supreme Lord. The very pleasant analogy of a good meal is given in this verse. A hungry man, busily consuming a consumptuous plate of food, is not interested in anything else happening around him. In fact, he considers any other topic or activity a disturbance to his concentration on a delicious meal. Similarly, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, one considers anything unrelated to the devotional service of Krishna as obnoxious disturbance. Such concentrated love of Godhead has been described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by the words Srivina Bhakti Yogina Yayeta Purusham Param Bhagavatam 2.3.10. One should not make an artificial show of renouncing the material world. Rather, one should systematically train the mind to see everything as an expansion of the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as a hungry materialistic man, upon seeing sumptuous food, immediately desires to put it in his mouth, an advanced devotee of Krishna, upon seeing a material object, immediately becomes eager to use it for the pleasure of Krishna. Without the spontaneous hunger to engage everything in the service of Krishna, and to dive deeper and deeper into the ocean of love of Krishna, so-called realization of God or loose talk about so-called religious life is irrelevant to the actual experience of entering into the kingdom of God. So in the previous verse, same thing, it's a nice example. Srila Jiva Goswami is giving the example from the Puranas. Because of a greedy person's obsession with money, wherever he goes, he sees an opportunity for acquiring wealth. Similarly, every lusty man notices women everywhere. In the same way, a pure devotee should see the transcendental form of the Lord within everything, since everything is an expansion of the Lord. It is our practical experience that a greedy man will see money everywhere. If he goes to the forest, he will immediately consider whether it will be profitable to purchase the forest land and sell the trees to the paper mill. Similarly, if a lusty man goes to the same forest, he will look everywhere for beautiful women, tourists, who might happen to be there. And if a devotee goes to the same forest, he will see Krishna there. Knowing correctly that the entire forest, as well as the sky canopy above, is the inferior energy of the Lord. Nice example. So, seeing Krishna everywhere. Prabhupada says, in that connection, he said, you're all very, very experienced in sense gratification. Very experienced. That's all you've ever done for billions of lives. Nobody takes a guru for sense gratification. You don't go to the guru, how can I get sense? Everyone's very expert, know how to get their own sense gratification. Huh? So Prabhupada says, you don't, everybody's expert at getting sense gratification, nobody has to tell them what to do. You don't learn sense gratification at school, but you certainly, I guess you do also. But anyway, you know how to get sense gratification. So that's how conditioning from time immemorial. Where is sense gratification? So Prabhupada said, you're very expert at it. Now you use that same expertise in satisfying Krishna's senses. You're very expert at sense gratification. Use that expertise how to satisfy Krishna's senses. Good instruction. Then, simple negation or giving up the company of materialistic persons will not do. We must have engagements. Sometimes it is found that person interested in spiritual advancement gives up the company of material society and goes to a secluded place as recommended for the yogis especially. But that will also not help a person in spiritual advancement. For in many instances, such yogis also fall down. As far as the Gyanis are concerned, generally they fall down without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The impersonalist or the voidist can simply avoid the positive material association, but they cannot remain fixed in transcendence without being engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada is talking about the Karmis, Gyanis, and Yogis, and the Buddhists. All they can do is stay aloof by their practice. But how long you can stay aloof? Your senses need some engagement. When the soul leaves the body, body is dead, there's no activity. As soon as the soul is in the body, there's activity. So because of the soul, the activity has to be there. So by nature, the soul is active. It has to act. This is the nature of the soul. And the pure activity is bhakti, devotional service. So simply withholding or withdrawing the senses and sense objects and becoming inactive, it won't last. How long can it last? So all these other forms are not satisfying. The yogis and the gyanis, they cannot maintain it for long. The gyanis get their mukti. For them, that's the goal. Like everything is finished now. Study of the Vedas, our tapasya, austerity, everything. All finished. Now we've attained our goal, aham brahmasmi. blissful state of life. The Prabhupada says, gives an example. Now if someone gives you $1 million in your hand, give. You don't have to pay it back. It's yours. You're happy, right? Naturally. You'll become happy. You think my problem's solved. I can get what I want. And so you're happy. It's undoubtedly you're happy. If someone gives you $1 million, you cannot deny that you will be happy. You're holding $1 million. But if you keep holding that $1 million, how are you going to get happy? Because it's just a bunch of papers you're holding. Right? The paper itself is, it's become a burden after a while, actually. It's heavy. But you're holding it. So the happiness is like the Brahman realization. They're happy, they got it. But how do you get happiness from $1 million? You've got to go out and spend it. You've got to, some activities, you've got to pass the notes out and get your goods back. So like that. You can't just hold the money. The real happiness comes when you spend it. But the thought of, oh, my problems are finished, that's good. So jnanis are like that. They achieve the goal, oh, hum brahmasmi. There's no greater gain, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Feeling great. But how long are you going to stay in that position? The soul has to have activity. So again, they pull down from that position and come back. Because they have no knowledge of devotional service. Then generally they engage in philanthropic work and opening hospitals and schools and things like that. Because the soul has to have activity. So all the other processes, they take it to the point more or less they're stopping activities. But bhakti yoga, it continues, you continue the activity. So what we are doing now, we'll continue in the spiritual world. The activity doesn't stop. All the other activities will stop, but the activities of bhakti don't stop. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada also mentions that when there's no sun, no moon, no stars, no Shiva, no Brahma, nothing, everyone is wound up in the body of Vishnu, nothing is existing. Then all these so-called processes of yoga that are given, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, sandha yoga, all the different processes of self-realization, all the different systems, vanashram, all those systems that are beneficial, dharma, artha, karma, moksha, they're all beneficial and helping. They don't exist. And the whole universe is, but none of these things exist anymore. They're all kind of recently created philosophies. And we're recently created because this universe is recently created. And it's perpetually being created. And so all these different systems and ways of a so-called advancement of human civilization, they don't exist when the universe goes back into Vishnu. But what does exist? Service to Vishnu, service to Krishna. That's going on in the spiritual world. That never stops. So it's an eternal activity, the devotional service, and eternal. It never finishes. Even the destruction of this universe, the devotees will do exactly the same thing. They'll go performing devotional service. And Prabhupada said, if you want, you can do exactly the same thing. If you'd like to make garlands for Krishna now, you can do exactly the same thing. If you want to cook for Krishna, you can do exactly the same thing. If you like, you can do exactly the same. So it doesn't. There's no change, actually, in the consciousness. Because this is the natural, Krishna consciousness, it's the natural situation of the soul. But all the other paths, they're not the natural situation of the soul. The freedom is natural. We shouldn't be covered by the modes of material nature. And practically that's all the other processes are teaching us, to get free from material nature, that's all. But they don't go beyond that. So that's a good thing. We should be free. We shouldn't be bound up. We're in a horrible situation. We should be free, so that's admitted. But real freedom is expressed in our service to Krishna. So this is eternal. Devotional service is eternal. So the impersonalist avoiders cannot simply avoid the position of material association. They cannot simply avoid the position of material association. They cannot remain fixed in transcendence without being engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is recommended in this verse. Bina Hare Guna Piyusha Panak. Sweet rice, Payush. Piyush. Yeah. Face sometimes, oh, Payush, Payush. Sweet rice. Bengali word, Payush. One must drink the nectar of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this means one must always be engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It is the prime method for advancing in spiritual life. Hearing and chanting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommends this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one wants to make advancement in spiritual life, by great fortune, he may meet a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him about Krishna. By serving both the spiritual master and Krishna, he gets a seed of devotional service, bhakti lata bija. And if he sows the seed within his heart and waters it by hearing and chanting, it grows into a luxuriant bhakti lata or bhakti kripa. So this is the beginning of devotional service. By serving both the spiritual master and Krishna, he gets the seed of devotional service, bhakti lata bij. Bhakti lata bij is the seed. And it means everything. All the devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving. All these aspects. They're all within that seed, the seed of bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare. We get that in initiation into the holy name. That's also the seed of bhakti. Everything is there in a seed form. Actually, at the time, Prabhupada says in the story of King Priyabrata, at the time of initiation, one gets a spiritual body. He said, and he gets a spiritual name and the spiritual body. He said, Krishna recognizes that by that name at that time. When you get a spiritual name, then Krishna will recognize you by that name. Because there is now the connections is made. And Prabhupada says you get a spiritual body. And you get the bhakti lata bija. Seed. How to develop that? It's in the seed form. The bhakti is in the seed. So we have to manifest that by the processes of hearing and chanting. And Prabhupada also gives an example there of, he said, we have to become convinced of this. We do get a spiritual body at the time of initiation because the Shastra says so. We cannot deny it. And he gives the example of the bell metal. By a chemical process, you can make bell metal become gold by a mixture of mercury, and there's a process for doing it. You can produce gold. So from ordinary metal can become gold. It's very valuable. So similarly, the ordinary living entities, by this process of initiation, by the process of accepting bhakti, they can become transformed. As the brass is transformed into gold, so the ordinary materialistic persons, when they accept this process and adopt it, they can become transformed into devotee. Chintamani. They become not material anymore, spiritual. And Krishna recognizes by it. And Prabhupada says, you may not see, I got a spiritual body, another four arms have popped up or something like that. It seems like the same body to me. It doesn't seem like a spiritual body. But Prabhupada said, but at least you can understand practically how the mind has changed. Because before you came to Krishna consciousness, you never thought of Krishna. Never even heard of him, many of us. Never thought of Krishna, you never thought to serve Krishna, you never understand you as eternal, so you didn't. And all of a sudden, somehow or another you come to in contact with Krishna consciousness, and all of a sudden, that's it. That's it. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This all makes sense. And at that time, you do nothing but think about Krishna. To the extent of leaving your mother and father and your children and your husband. Wives and running away. To any extent, you run away, you become mad after Krishna, right? You're thinking of Krishna, you're chanting Hare Krishna all day long, you're always thinking out of service, seeing Krishna. So Prabhupada said you can see positive change, the subtle body changed. You may not see how the gross body is changed, but you can see how the subtle body changes. And that's a fact. Everybody's experienced that, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here. The subtle body has changed. Now we want nothing but Krishna, right? We don't talk about anything else but Krishna. So we get a spiritualized body by this process of initiation and watering the bhakti like a beach. The creeper is so strong that it penetrates the covering of the universe and reaches the spiritual world and continues to grow on and on until it reaches and takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Just as an ordinary creeper also grows on and on until it takes solid shelter on a roof, and then it very steadily grows and produces the required fruit. The real cause of the growing of such fruit, which is here called the nectar of hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to water the creeper of devotional service by hearing and chanting. Here is the process, hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what we should be doing all day long. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You hear from the Guru, from the Vaishnava, from Krishna. Build the temple. And we do that. But we hear, we're acting on that sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration. We go out and we put some bricks and cement up. And then a temple is built. Where did it come from? That sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration. And we were fortunate enough to take part in it. We were just putting bricks and cement. It didn't seem very spiritual. But we were part of the manifestation of that sound vibration from Krishna or Krishna's devotee. So naturally we become purified. So this is engagement in devotional service. And this causes the bhakti lata beach to creep, go throughout the universe to the lotus feet of Krishna. Not so far. In front of Radha Madhava there's a platform. It's 3 feet high. Then above that is another platform with the deity room, but it's 3 feet high. On there is another platform. It's 20 inches high. So that's 6 feet and 20 inches high. And then there is a base where Madhava is standing, another 6 inches. So 6 feet plus 26, so 8 foot, 2 inches. Not so far that creeper has to go. We can serve here the lotus feet of Radha Madhava with devotional service. The creeper's not so far to go. 6 feet, 8 inches, okay. You don't have to bother to go throughout the universe. So the purport is that one cannot live outside the society of devotees. One must live in the association of devotees where there is constant chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is started for this purpose, so that hundreds of ISKCON centers may give people a chance to hear and chant, to accept the spiritual master, and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. Prabhupada said in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, he said the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been started to give devotees association. Anybody who thinks they can make any spiritual advancement outside of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is certainly in a great hallucination. Prabhupada's own words. If you think you can make advancement outside of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness and Association of Devotees, you're in a great hallucination. But Prabhupada wants these centers to give people, simply to give people a chance to hear and chant, serve Krishna. And to accept the spiritual master and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. For in this way one can make solid advancement in going back home, back to Godhead ki. Back to Godhead ki. Shima Bhagavatam ki. Shamaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nitai Gopremanam ki. Hare Krishna. Any comment? Sadhu Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Narayana Prabhu. In the beginning of the society, Prabhupada, actually in the first years, actually, that he founded this con, he gave us the Krishna book. And remember once, we were reading also one of the first books that he produced is Nectar of Devotion. In this Upadeshamrita, instruction, sorry, Upadesha Amrita, in the last verse, in the purport, he explains how one must meditate in assisting some of the eternal associates of the Lord. And then I remember the devotee, senior devotee, is commenting how the importance of, by reading Krishna book, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one may, should naturally feel inclined throughout analyzing, reading, studying, and testing some of the different pastimes of the Lord here with his devotees and so forth. So that was a very shocking reference. It's practical, right? By thinking, and particularly in this commentary you made, this, and the verse also explains how this association happens in the mind first, and then the nature of being in this body, the mind will draw us towards this. Having a material body towards this sense gratification in the dark mood, right? Whereas by associating in the mind with this pure eternal assistance of the Lord, we awake, or we the spiritual body, as you say, which is given by the Lord. In this case, you very detail explain how Prabhupada also contributes as make us aware. Definitely in that body there is enjoyment. So the question is, in these experiences also in ISKCON, we have seen devotees, very elevated devotees, that also have troubles, and then temporarily we will say they are not participating any longer, and that's the reason they are in Maya, you say. But in the daily activities, the process also is kind of a shortcut, right? We do this and that, but still I have a material body. And then how this spiritual body, or I, it could be instantly, let's say, I instantly remember this activity where the Lord is performing in this particular way, or I eventually becoming also by association with the mind, with this pastime, I become very much identified with, and I can eventually, as supported in the scriptures, get detached from this. Becoming attached to these servants of the Lord, I become detached from this body. In an overall thing, these other analytical descriptions, as we were discussing yesterday, are given also in Sanat Kumara Samhita. So, is there anything wrong also to meditate in this particular sequence of pastimes of the Lord, as you say very clearly in the three-dimensional way? They are already enacted in the, inside the altar, so we'll be there in the spiritual world. Could you please kindly comment about this also apparent practical scientific process of achieving the identification? Otherwise, when leaving the body, and if I don't know what kind of a spiritual body, living this body, Prabhupada gave, you are not this body, and Chan 60 wrong. I am not this body, but I am a body. And you say that actually Krishna greets us.
Yeah, what Srila Prabhupada has given us is the is Radha Krishna Seva, service to Radha and Krishna, who have come in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada, for example, he has built this temple, his Mahaprabhu's desire, he is Radha and Krishna. So it's his desire to have this temple. So we're hearing that vibration, it seems like a kind of a materialistic activity, but it's fulfilling the desire of Radha and Krishna. So in this way we're getting to serve Radha and Krishna, even though we're materialistic persons, we've got materialistic tendencies, but still Prabhupada's given us engagement in fulfilling the desires of Radha and Krishna. So we had that consciousness that our service we're doing is for the pleasure of Guru and Guranga. So in this way we're able to actually serve Radha and Krishna by doing the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is his order. Every Viti Priti Chato Aganaga, in every town and village you should be preaching the glories of chanting the Hare Krishna. So this is Radha and Krishna saying this verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. So Radha and Krishna are given direct instructions. You've got a material body, you're in the material world. Okay, so use it, go meet other material people and tell them to chant Hare Krishna in every town and village of the world. So the idea is that we should doing this or in the mood of for the satisfaction of Gauranga and Guru. Because when you actually get your spiritual body in Vrindavan or maybe a female body and an intimate associate with Radharani and the gopis, exactly the same consciousness is there. They're doing those activities for the satisfaction of Radha and Krishna. So you can do exactly the same activity here, building temples, spreading the holy name in every town and village, for the satisfaction of Krishna. This is the main consciousness behind it. It's not the race to get your spiritual body and understand your form and your nature and your service and all these things. That's the purpose of all the form and everything is for the satisfaction of Radha and Krishna. So we can do that through the agency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna. So that in that way then, Prabhupada and the Acharyas have given us a very practical means. It's cultivation of the consciousness behind it. So when we're doing something, the consciousness always should be behind it as we're doing it for the satisfaction of Krishna, because this is the consciousness that's in the spiritual world. So if we develop that consciousness, then whatever your consciousness is fixed on, you get a body suited to that. So we're only interested in serving Radha and Krishna. We get a body suited to that kind of service. It's a very practical way Prabhupada has given us.
Thank you so much. Actually, then the principle will be that while in the process, because as you very nicely pointed out, we go to the essence, not just to the form, to the essence of what is the state of consciousness. And then in the other side, through that state of consciousness, by looking at the essence of everything, we reach the form.
Then it becomes absolute at that point. There's no difference between consciousness and the form when you're there.
Yes. Let's see. Like most of the lectures I hear about Prabhupada, about second canto, he speaks a little bit and he brings them down immediately to like Bhagavad Gita class, right? He told us in first canto there's enough to get self realization. He told us in nectar instruction like to get more knowledge than what we need, satyahara. So how can we know, factually, that what we're reading, we're going to be able to digest? You know, what we're reading above that, we're going to be able to digest. How can we know?
Can you repeat that last sentence?
How can we know that what we're going to read, you know, like so many books we can read, right? We're going to be able to digest them.
How we know what we read will be able to digest? Digestion means means revelation, realization. So this any revelation or realization we get in our Krishna consciousness progression, we should take it as being the mercy of the Lord and His devotee. They are revealing, that's all. Specifically, the holy name in this age is coming. He is revealing. Nam nam kori bahudha nivasarva shakti. Everything is contained in the holy name that we need for spiritual life. Ultimately, in this age of Kali, it's through the holy name that revelation comes. We're doing all types of service, but because the nam is the main principle, then the nam is giving revelation. That's how Krishna gives revelation in Kali Yuga, how he's coming in Kali Yuga, in this sound vibration. So it's not that we have to know everything. All this knowledge is more or less simply for to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and merits eternal service. It's more or less for conviction. But if we have implicit faith, then you don't need the knowledge. So you're just completely dependent on Krishna and Guru. You've got your service, what more do you want? You've got His holy name.
It's like, shouldn't we, like, the first instruction we get, we're not this body, right? Shouldn't we, like, digest that one before going to other ones? That's my question.
Okay, yeah, you... First step, we understand we're not this body, so should we try to realize that, digest? But then we're going to turn to become jnanis, you see, because that's their goal. If we give all our attention now, let me get across the first step, which is I'm not this body, which it is. But if we give all our attention to the process of getting out of realizing I'm not this body, then that's the process of jnan. So we don't want to end up jnanis. So instead of worrying about it, oh, I can't realize I'm the body, that means I can't make any more advancement until I've got out this bodily conception of life, I'm stuck on this this platform. So simultaneously we hear everything. We hear the 10th canto, we read Krishna book, and simultaneously we're hearing everything. And we have to study sometimes our own thing. If we get... if you read something and it inspires you, feel something. You read something and something comes out of Prabhupada's books, or you hear something that inspires you, then while the inspiration is there, follow it up. Read more about that. Ask people about it. Or it says this in another book like this, and research it. While that mood is there, because that mood's not going to stay very long. It'll go away. But then another one will come. So when it's present, you research, because that's when it's kind of alive in you. So that help you advance more quickly.
Like in the early days, devotees in Europe or in America, I don't know, they were like reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gopi Bhava Club, you know. They were like developing the mood of the gopis. And Prabhupada just cut them, you know, like so fast. So that's why, how to know what we should read.
Well, yeah, so Sanatana Goswami is out. You're asking about Sambandha, how we know where we are, where we will be. So Sanatana Goswami is a Sambandha Acharya. Now here's the example. He approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a straw in his teeth. They are calling me Pandit, because he was Pandit. He knew Persian, Urdu. He was a minister for the Mahaprabhu Saint Star, a big physician. They are calling me Pandit, and I'm accepting it. Yes, I'm very Pandit. But actually, I'm a great fool, because I do not know who I am. So, he said, I don't know if I'm this body, I don't know if I'm the mind, I don't have the intelligence, I don't know if I'm the soul, I don't know what I am. But whatever I am, my Lord, that I'm surrendering unto you. So this is the attitude. We may not have realized it, but whatever it is, whatever realization we got, we're surrendering to you, Krishna. If I think I'm his body, I'm yours, Krishna. Take my. If I think I'm the mind, Krishna, I'm yours. Whatever we are, we surrender to Krishna. So we always keep it in the bhakti fold. Otherwise, we're going to go out and become jnanis or yogis and meditators. And thank you. Thank you.